Hello, this is Pani and welcome to the news with NDTV. It's Monday, August 25 and coming up in today's episode. Supreme Court states freedom of speech doesn't extend to commercial speech. Defending tainted Netas bill, Amit Shah slams opposition in interview. BJP leader objects to Booker Prize winner Banu Mushtaq inaugurating the Shahra as she's Muslim. And India warns Pakistan about flood situation in the Tawi River as a goodwill gesture. How much freedom of speech is too much freedom of speech? In a Supreme Court hearing today, the bench of Justice Suryakant and Justice Joy Mallya Bakshi asked the centre if it was developing any guidelines or policies for the regulation of social media content. Further, it stated that freedom of speech promised to citizens cannot be applied to commercial speech with reference to Samir Raina's controversial jokes. The bench was hearing a petition by Cure SMA Foundation of India, which supports patients and families affected by spinal muscular atrophy. The petition had flagged jokes mocking people with disabilities. The comics who were called out included Samir Raina, Vipun Goyal, Balraj Paramjit Singh Ghai, Sonali Thakur and Nishant Jagdish Tanwar. The petition was clubbed with the cases linked to India's Got Latent controversy, in which YouTuber Ranveer Ahlabadia was charged. Appearing for the foundation, senior advocate Aparajit Singh said, "Good sense has prevailed and all the comics have apologized." Attorney General R. Venkatramani, appearing for the centre, said the centre will take some time to lay down guidelines for comics and influencers. They cannot be a complete gag, he said. The bench said guidelines must not be a reaction to one incident. Future challenges have to be kept in mind. It has to be broad-based. He would like to have the opinion of domain experts also, Justice Kant said. When senior advocate Singh said the top court sent a strong message, Justice Kant replied, quote, "Apology is one thing, but is it required that a foundation will have to come every time to court for this? What if some individual is victimized?" Unquote. Weighing in, Justice Bakshi said, "Humor is a part of life and we can take jokes on us. But when you start making fun of others, there is a breach of sensitivity. India is a diverse country with so many communities and these so-called influencers of today. When you are commercializing speech, you cannot use a community and hurt their sentiments." Justice Kant added, "There should be a balance of rights and duties." The lawyer appearing for the comics said, "We have tendered an unconditional apology. Respondents are present as per the last order. Samir Raina and other comics named in the case were in court today." The bench warned them of a penalty and said, "Today is about the disabled. Next time it can be a woman, senior citizens, children. When will this end?" Justice Kant asked. Senior advocate Singh told the bench that instead of imposing a penalty on comics, they could be asked to contribute to activities that benefit the cause of disability and patients of rare diseases. Quote, "Let them use their influence to take forward this issue. That would be the best apology," she said. The comics agreed. The court said in its order that the comics shall post an apology on their YouTube channel, social media and podcast pages and inform the court about the penalty that they are willing to bear. Union Home Minister Amit Shah's fiery accusations targeted toward the opposition piled up in a single interview today, in which he questioned the moral stance of Rahul Gandhi and India Bloc's reasoning for nominating an alleged left-wing sympathizer. He also dismissed the opposition's claims of ex-Vice President Jagdeep Thankar being under house arrest. The sudden resignation of ex-Vice President Jagdeep Thankar made it to the discussion, wherein Amit Shah addressed the opposition's allegations of the ex-Vice President being placed under house arrest because of the ruling party. The Union Home Minister said, "Thankar Sahib's resignation letter is clear in itself. He has cited health reasons for his resignation. He has also expressed heartfelt gratitude toward the Prime Minister and other ministers and government members for his good tenure." Unquote. when asked about Mr. Dhankar being under house arrest, as claimed by certain opposition leaders, Mr. Shah said the interpretation of truth and lie should not rely solely on opposition statements and warned against making a fuss over the former vice president's resignation. Congress MP Jairam Ramesh expressed concern over the health minister's statements. In a post on X, he said, quote, Mr. Jagdeep Dhankar suddenly and unexpectedly resigned as vice president of India on the night of 21st July 2025. It was an unprecedented event. A day later, the Prime Minister simply wished him good health. Today, the Home Minister has tried to say more on this, but he has only deepened the mystery. This entire episode of resignation is really bizarre and reflects how the G2 works. Taking a jibe at the leader of the opposition in Lok Sabha, Amit Shah also questioned the moral stance of Rahul Gandhi over Congress's opposition to the new bill in Parliament to sack ministers who have been arrested for more than 30 days. Mr. Shah sarcastically asked whether Rahul Gandhi's stance had shifted after losing 3 consecutive elections. Quote, right now PM Narendra Modi is there, so there is no question of it. But if the Prime Minister of the country goes to jail, do you think it is right that the Prime Minister or the Chief Minister runs the government from jail? Unquote, he added. Amit Shah exuded confidence that the bill would be passed in the parliament. In the same interview, Amit Shah also targeted India Bloc for nominating an alleged left-wing sympathizer, retired Supreme Court Judge B. Sudarshan Reddy, saying that the latter's judgment on Salwa Judam was the sole reason that left-wing extremism, which was on its deathbed, managed to survive for over 2 decades. He demanded that the Congress leader should give an explanation for the opposition alliance deciding to pick a nominee who sympathized. Deciding to pick a nominee who sympathized with left-wing ideology and whose ruling that disbanded the armed civilian vigilante group prevented the eradication of Naxals before 2020. A political row has erupted after the Karnataka government's decision to invite Booker Prize winner author and activist Banu Mushtaq to inaugurate the Dashera celebrations at Mysuru. Questioning a Muslim being invited to a traditionally Hindu religious event, BJP leader Pratap Sinha said that even though he is extremely proud of Ms. Mushtaq's achievements, Dashera is not a secular event. Quote, congratulations to Banu Mushtaq, who recently won the prestigious Booker Prize for her literary work Heart Lamp. You are the first Kannada writer to receive this award. We are very proud of this. The state government has invited Banu Mushtaq to inaugurate the Nadahabad Dasara. She has also accepted. I am not saying this is because Banu is Muslim. We are proud of your achievement. You have received the Booker Prize. This is a joy for the people of the state. But the Dasara is not a symbol of secularism. It is a religious celebration. He added, and I quote, this is our festival. After the fall of Yuduvansha, Vijayanagar Empire in Mysore, the Yuduvansha established an empire in Srirangapatna and continued that tradition. Even today, all the rituals are performed in the palace in a ceremonial manner. Since today we have a democratic system, the government has taken this public celebration under its control. But it is not a symbol of secularism. The author has refused to comment on the BJP leader's remark, but said she has been invited, so she would go. This row erupted after Chief Minister Siddaramaiah on Friday announced that Ms. Mushtaq will be inaugurating the Dashera festivities in Mysuru this year. Quote, Banu Mushtaq, a writer from Hassan in Karnataka, will inaugurate the world-famous Dasara Mahotsav this year. The festivities will begin on September 22 and Vijayadashami will be observed on the 11th day on October 2nd, unquote, he said. Banu Mushtaq's literary work, Hrudaya Deepa, won the Booker Prize. It is a matter of pride and joy for us that a woman writer from Karnataka received this honor. Banu Mushtaq was associated with farmers' organizations, Kannada agitations, and progressive movements. It is significant that a woman has been invited to inaugurate Dasara, the Chief Minister said. The party also stated, quote, In the past, the Dasara celebrations began during the Vijayanagar Empire. For about 18 years, Dasara was continued by Hyder Ali and Tipu Sultan, and after 1984, the government took over the celebrations. Unquote. 77-year-old Mushtaq won the prestigious Booker Prize this year for her short story anthology. The 12 short stories written over three decades capture the daily lives of Muslim women in southern India and deal with patriarchy and gender inequality. Amid heightened diplomatic tensions between India and Pakistan, New Delhi reportedly extended a goodwill gesture yesterday and alerted Islamabad about the flood situation in Tawi River. The information was forwarded via the Indian Commission in Islamabad, as the usual Indus Water Treaty channel remained in its abeyance after the Pahalgam terror attack, Pakistani media reported, citing official sources. There has been no official confirmation regarding the development by either India or Pakistan, but if the claims are true, it would mark the first time India used its diplomatic mission to convey such information. Ideally, such inputs are shared through the Indus Water Commissioners under the decades-old Indus Water Treaty, which has been in abeyance after a terror attack in Pahalgam, where terrorists targeted tourists, killing 25 Indian nationals and one Nepalese citizen, and leaving several others injured. Citing sources, reports claimed that India has alerted Pakistan about a possible major flood in the Tawi River in Jammu. The Indian High Commission in Islamabad reportedly conveyed the alert on Sunday. Pakistani authorities have issued warnings based on the information provided by India, it added. Beginning in Tibet, the Indus River flows through Kashmir before traversing the entire length of Pakistan. The Indus Water Treaty, brokered by the World Bank, has governed the use of the Indus River and its tributaries between India and Pakistan since 1960. The treaty gives India 20% of the water from the Indus River system and the rest 80% goes to Pakistan. It allocates the western rivers, which are Indus, Jhelum and Chenab, to Pakistan and eastern rivers, Ravi, Bias and Satluj, to India. At the same time, it allows each country certain uses of the rivers allocated to the other. A day after the Pahalgam terror attack on April 22nd, India took a series of punitive measures against Pakistan that included putting the Indus Water Treaty in abeyance. With the suspension of the treaty, India has stopped sharing the water level data in the three rivers with Pakistan. During monsoons, India's early warnings about rising waters in the three rivers helped Pakistan issue timely evacuation warnings to people living in low-lying areas in Punjab and Sindh provinces. The move is seen as a goodwill gesture amid worsening bilateral ties between the two nuclear-powered neighbors after a brief military conflict in May. The monsoon season, which shows no sign of easing, has continued to wreak havoc across Pakistan. Leaving widespread destruction in its wake. At least 788 people have lost their lives and more than 1,000 others have sustained injuries as relentless rains continue to batter the South Asian nation since June 26. The number of dead includes 200 children, 117 women and 471 men. Pakistan's leading Daily Dawn reported, citing figures released by the Pakistan's National Disaster Management Authority, that Punjab recorded 165 fatalities. Khyber Pakhtunkhwa reported the highest with 469 deaths, followed by Sindh with 51, Balochistan with 24, Pakistan-occupied Gilgit-Baltistan with 45, Pakistan-occupied Kashmir with 23 and Islamabad with 8. In India, Jammu and Kashmir Jal Shakti Minister Javed Ahmed Rana on Sunday directed officials to ensure the round-the-clock monitoring of water levels across all major river systems, with focus on the Indus basins Jhelum, Ravi and Tawi rivers and their tributaries. That's all for today. You were listening to the news with NDTV, your daily newspaper and news bulletin wrapped in a compact podcast. If you want to catch up with the day's events in a hurry, do subscribe to the Daily News on Spotify, Apple, and the NDTV News app. This is your host, Bani, signing off.